Have you ever had a Monster or a Red Bull or one of the myriad of energy drinks recently? Have you had a chance to read the ingredients label? If you have not, you may want to reconsider. A study published in the September 2008 edition of the journal Drug and Alcohol Dependence, conducted at Johns Hopkins by scientists on the effects of caffeine, report that a new slew of caffeinated energy drinks now on the market should carry prominent labels that note caffeine doses and warn of the potential health risks for consumers. Dr. Chad Reisig is researcher in the Behavioral Pharmacology Research Unit at Johns Hopkins University and lead author of this study. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I wanted to first ask you, what is the market for energy drinks in the U.S., and can we assume that it is comparable in Canada?
I certainly would think so. The major thing about this market is its absolute explosion and exponential growth. So going through various research marketing firms, you know, in terms of millions of dollars, in 2002, energy drink sales in the U.S. were somewhere around $100 million. But in 4 years, in 2006, it's now over $600 million. So it's a market that's really growing in terms of sales, but also in terms of products. There are literally hundreds of energy drinks now, and they just keep hitting the market faster and faster.
What is the demographic that's targeted in these advertising campaigns? Because I would imagine there's got to be a reason why in the span of 6 years you've seen this explosion. It's not that caffeine or caffeinated beverages haven't been in existence. This is something that people have used for centuries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. There hasn't been a lot of formal analysis of who's drinking these energy drinks and who's buying these products. So really, we do have to speculate just a little bit. But, it seems kind of intuitive that where these things are popping up are extreme sports, motocross events. They have these really brightly colored advertisements. A lot of so-called ex-athletes are becoming the sponsors of these drinks. So we really think that they are targeting a younger teenage to young adult, say 14 to 25-year-old, primarily male demographic.
I want to turn now to define and for our listeners to understand what exactly caffeine is, what kind of drug it is, what physiological effects it has, and how does it vary with regards to how our bodies react on in relation to the actual dose?
Yeah, caffeine actually is a natural substance found notably in coffee. It's a really widely used drug, and it's used anywhere 80-90% of the world population. So its primary mechanism of action, or how it works, is it functions as an adenosine receptor antagonist. So it blocks these adenosine receptors, specifically the A1 and A2A receptors. Now, what adenosine does is it produces a wide variety of effects. It can decrease locomotor activity or movement, energy, things like that. So when you block these receptors, it's what gives you the feelings of less fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Most people do experience an elevation in mood. It kind of makes them feel good, and a lot of people experience this daily when they have their morning cup of coffee.
What was the impetus then, if we turn to the study, what was the impetus for the questions that you wanted to ask in your study? What was going on in terms of your research and previous research that had you want to look at this area a little bit more in depth?
Well, really, we started this project simply by noticing how widespread these drinks are and how quickly they've become popular. So we wanted to take a closer look at what exactly is in these energy drinks, how are they marketed, and what potentially could be the result of this growing market.
So how did you design your study?
Well, really what this was a systematic review. So we contacted numerous manufacturers. We attempted to track down their sales, their caffeine contents, and then just take a closer look at how they're marketed, and then look at some of the studies of some of the past literature involving caffeine, and then sort of seeing how that fits in with this current phenomenon.
Now, what were your observations? What did you see?
Well, we found a lot of really interesting things. You know, first of all, we found really just the increase in popularity. And I touched on that earlier by looking at those sales and the sheer number of these things that are now available. But we also found that in terms of caffeine content, these drinks vary enormously in their concentration and contents. So, for instance, you could have one energy drink that has maybe 50 milligrams of total caffeine, but on the other end of the spectrum, we found one product that had 505 milligrams of caffeine. So this is, you know, a tenfold difference in the amount. So that's really important because people really don't know what they're getting when they pull an energy drink off the shelf. This is especially true because another thing that we found was that at least in the U.S., a lot of these energy drinks aren't labeled. So you have no idea how much caffeine is actually in them. So we did have to rely on the manufacturer sort of take their word for it and how much caffeine is in them. Another thing we found was really the aggressive marketing of these energy drinks. So all it takes is a quick Google search, and you'll be bombarded with loud rock music, bright colors, slogans like get your wings, get amped up, unleash the beast. So, you know, we think that this has the potential to send not the right message to younger consumers. And this would be a message of it's okay to use a substance for performance-enhancing effects, and also kind of a message that it's okay to use a substance for recreational effects. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that that's kind of the right message you want to be sending to young teens and adolescents. Probably the most extreme example of this is the energy drink cocaine. So this is an energy drink that comes in a can with the name cocaine, and it's spelled out in a white granular substance, which you know certainly is there to mimic cocaine.
Right.
But it also has a slightly analgesic or numbing component to it. So when you drink it and consume it, it's supposed to simulate the drip down the back of your throat that comes from snorting cocaine. There's also an energy drink additive called Blow. And if you order enough of this energy drink additive, it comes packaged in a styrofoam cube, which is supposed to mimic a kilo of cocaine. And it also comes with credit cards and a mirror. So there are really just these incredible marketing schemes behind these things, pushing them on people, which don't really carry a very good message to younger children.
Are there any restrictions with regards to who can purchase these products?
None, at least in the U.S. Yeah, and that's one of the things we found.
Now, with regards to the amount of caffeine, the literally the dose of caffeine found in these products, you said a tenfold difference sometimes between one and the other. Mm-hmm. Are there medical conditions, first off, are there medical conditions that can be exacerbated by excess caffeine intake, given that a person may not even know how much is in the product? And secondly, in comparison to what, say, a typical everyday coffee drinker, moderate intake of coffee, how much caffeine would they on average be taking in a standard cup of coffee, not the grande stuff that you see at Starbucks, but just a regular cup of coffee, and how that translates into the amount that they would be consuming had they been taking the 500, 300, 400 milligram doses of the caffeine?
Well, that's an interesting question. So one thing we know is that the degree to which an individual is affected by caffeine is largely affected by their degree of tolerance. So for a normal adult who is used to getting caffeine every day, they become tolerant to its effects, and they might not have any problems whatsoever in consuming an energy drink. Where the problem comes in these younger teens and adolescents who may not necessarily be used to having caffeine and drinking coffee on a daily basis. So you give a kid this, then they can begin to experience some of the symptoms of caffeine intoxication. Mm-hmm. These are, restlessness, nervousness, excitement, irregular heartbeat. And so in an adult, those may be conditions, blood pressure issues, heart disease, where you wouldn't want to have that much caffeine. So those are kind of the major things. Now, in comparison to normal coffee,
right.
Give or take, a 6-ounce cup of coffee has about 100 milligrams of caffeine. So most people nowadays probably are having, 12 to 18 ounces. So in comparison to your normal cup of coffee, these can be equivalent, in some cases can be double that amount.
Right.
But again, the bigger concern is in younger consumers who aren't as tolerant to the effects of caffeine.
Are there any recommendations that will follow from this particular study, and are there further investigations that you are planning?
Gosh, I hope we get some sort of response of this. I think our kind of initial goal was to just raise awareness about this. It seems to me that's been met, and in general, people have been really receptive. I'm talking to you now, mm-hmm. which is a good thing because people are interested, and that's just going to raise awareness to this. We did write a formal letter to the FDA here in the U.S., just summarizing our findings and asking for some regulation, maximum limits, clear labels. It remains to be seen whether or not they actually respond to that. As far as research goes, I think there's a lot of interesting things here. Are these things, is caffeine the main ingredient, or is there something to the taurine and the other mm-hmm. Quote-unquote secret ingredients? So it's my belief that the likely active ingredient is mainly caffeine, but there may actually be something to these other additives that are in there.
Dr. Chad Reisig is a researcher in the Behavioral Pharmacology Research Unit at Johns Hopkins University and lead author of a study that appeared in the September 2008 edition of the journal Drug and Alcohol Dependence, looking at caffeine content in a lot of the caffeinated drinks out there, the energy drinks out there. And Dr. Reisig, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to discuss your findings and also putting in a bit of perspective about how much is actually being consumed, and that, in effect, people that are buying these products should really read the labels to see how much they are taking in. Because in effect, a lot of these things are being pumped up with a naturally occurring substance, but way beyond, in some cases, what someone would normally consider to do had they been just drinking regular coffee. And Dr. Rice, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to discuss this issue with us today.
Okay, thank you.